Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I know that there's a snake crawling around the garage.
Right.
All day long. And I'm still coming off this cold that I had, too.
And what happened to the pictures
I was supposed to see this week? I think, much like people, if I was kept in an 8x10 room, I wouldn't want to be in a room where I defecated.
And like, that's what separates us from the animals.
My laundry consists of bringing a laundry basket from my bedroom to the laundry room.
I have a big straw laundry basket that I balance on my head, and I take it into the laundry room and I do my wash. I just do the
like you're in a third world country.
Exactly, Mike. There's a good way to do it.
You're wearing a sarong?
Yes, a flowered sarong.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
I have to admit that I was the goat F today. I was the one that caused the delays. You know, I think you know me well enough, Rob, to know how passionate I am now about getting her done in the morning and making sure that we, you know, we have our act together in the morning. And it's all my fault, and I feel horrible.
Every now and then something happens, and I feel it's out of our control. And I hope that myself and Oz the Great and Powerful, I hope we didn't make you feel like you were the goat F.
No, but when you call, when I know that I'm not communicating with you and I'm running around, we have a very key piece of equipment that is across the room.
Yes.
So it's up, down, up, down. It should be right at my fingertips to adjust it, but it's not there. Yesterday, something happened that I did not think about until this morning. I didn't even write it down.
You've been teasing this, Mike.
Because I said that I came in today, the computer was off. When I say off, it was not what it normally, the settings. The audio chain was off in this studio. There are a few little things that have to be adjusted every day. But usually I go back to the settings that were there.
Right.
And most importantly, there were a series of pulleys and wheels that had been effed with. And my son is in school all day, and then I'm with him for the rest of the afternoon, and he does not come in here.
Right.
However, I will take you through yesterday.
Okay.
Yesterday, because this is how it works when you are over the mileage in your lease. Everything begins to go on the car. And when you return the car after a lease, if you don't fix it, they will charge you to fix it, and I would imagine they would charge you at a premium to fix it.
What I like to call my dealership rates.
So it behooves me to go to the local tech center, not the dealership, to get the car. But they are certified, so it's all the legit stuff they do. And so yesterday was the day that Mrs. O'Mara and I are going to venture out, because this morning is going to be what I like to casually refer to as a goat F, getting my son to school, getting Carla to work, getting ready to do this show, and make it available for you to eat. And so what happens was we are at the very last minute. Carla says to me, this is about 6:30 last evening. Okay, let's take your car over. They have a key drop
at
the service center, which is very convenient, and you can just drop it off anytime after hours, and they'll deal with it first thing. Why are you chortling at that?
Because it's lovely. It's a key drop, which is lovely.
Well, it's, you know, sure.
It's standard. Yeah, it's a good thing to have. It's a good thing to have, especially in this busy world. You know, you don't always have the chance to drop things off during business hours.
All right, that's good. I'm happy you approve of their key drop.
Mike, you know what? It's no big deal that you were a little late. Don't
here
be fussy at
well,
me.
Me.
I'm
just,
sorry
let me
I
just,
called
let
to
me
help.
Just tell my story here, for
All right.
God's sake.
All right.
So I go to the key drop, and we do. What was happening at the last possible second? At the last possible second, I look over and Jake the Snake in my garage here. The garage door is open. And I look over at my Jake the Snake and Chloe. Yeah, I realize how pathetic my life is. It, really, sometimes I do.
Wasn't going to say
a word. I realize how. And I said, oh, he's got, he's made doo-doo. And I don't want to, I don't wish to, and he's in the far corner. He really, I don't think he likes.
The far corner of his cage?
Or of his enclosure.
Right. Okay, yes, and his
terrarium.
Yeah, he is made.
He's made poo. Snake poo. And I think much like people, if I was kept in an 8x10 room, I wouldn't want to be in a room where I defecated. And
like,
I look
that's
at
what
this
separates us from the animals.
Carla is in the driveway, feet away. I was going to grab a pallet of Diet Coke, empty cardboard pallet to put in the recycling because trash day is today.
Right.
This is my mundane, pathetic. I would love to have people doing all this for me, but I don't. I do it
Mike,
all myself.
It may interest you to know.
Yes.
That Wednesday is my trash day.
That's good. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that. And I'm
so
sure,
if you ever miss,
I'm sure
I can
you
always fill
are
in.
The first one out. I bet you are the first one out there with your trash barrels.
Mike, here's the thing that will surprise you is I usually only put out trash every other week when the kids aren't home. We don't generate enough trash to fill the can.
Bite me. We will. Carl and I, we will have a carbon footprint the size of a freaking T-Rex for the rest of my life. So... At the last minute, I'm getting the cardboard pallet of the empty case of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
That I got at the box store.
So
that
it's a 30
pack. Keep on hand. That, by the way, that I keep on hand. I make sure we have it in stock, and Carla drinks as much of it as I do, but she doesn't admit it.
Well, Mike, it's fine. You know, they are so delicious when you put them in a TMOS koozie. It's hard to resist them.
The last day for T-shirt sales.
That's right. So you want to get those in.
The last time
TMOSstore.com.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about. Yeah. See, anytime you want to get me back on track, have me sell something, and I will be back on track. So, get in the cardboard, and I notice out of the corner of my eye, oh, poo in the enclosure.
Mm. Oh, poo.
Since trash day is tomorrow,
right.
That is something I ought to take care of right now, because then it can go away from the house instead of leaving it either in a receptacle or in, for God's sake, the enclosure, which
Does
I don't want
to smell
do.
Snake poo?
Sometimes snake pee seems to smell worse than snake poo.
Mm-hmm.
Snake poo is really nothing. But snake pee, when he really lets that go, and he, they don't pee like normal creatures pee. I think they wait a long time and then...
Yeah,
and it comes out. I don't know. You'd have to check with is it a herpetologist?
No, that would be someone who looks for sores on your face, I think.
No, that's herpes. I'm talking about a herpetologist would be a reptile expert.
I will find out for you. But I'm glad that you were
able
to spot the
magna cum laude. Don't you know that off the top of your from your science classes?
Yeah, I took so much science as a broadcasting major.
Well, you're the one that likes to trumpet the fact that you were a student at Virginia Commonwealth University.
I haven't trumpeted that at all this day.
This day, no. So getting back to, I see it, I clean it, I put it in the trash, I take the trash out to the street, and I'm out. And right. I will deal with his enclosure later. That comes into play last night at bedtime. At 9:15, what was I going in here to go? Okay, we are right before bed, about 9:15 p.m. Michael and I are trying to get his sliding closet door. Yes, it's a sliding door. For those of you that live in gnome houses, little bitty ticky-tackies like I do, that is there will not be a door that opens like a normal door to a closet. No, that would indicate space. That would indicate that you've got room to elbow room. Not that you live in a thimble house designed for people who are going to die soon.
I don't know about that.
So my son's closet, as many closets are, is a sliding door closet. And
does
the
it hang more than it sort of hangs on wheels, right? Does it have a bottom track?
It's got wheels at the top, and it's got a bottom track.
Okay. And Mike, by the way.
What?
Herpetologist. Reptile Thank you. Expert.
Reptile expert.
Yeah, good
I'm,
job.
I'm glad I got that right. So we are working on it, and it's delightful to see him with that can-do, I'll help dad, and we start obsessing over it, and it's not working because the technology that is put in place for those doors makes it problematic.
What
it
is
really
your
does.
Analysis of the problem going in?
It's not on the track.
It's
on
off
either
the track.
Top or okay. bottom. It's literally off. The door is out of the closet. We were sliding it back in.
Well, you know, he'll probably be happier that way.
Why?
Because he's out of the closet. He no longer has anything to fear. It's very proud when someone comes out.
I'd come across at the table. No. Are you making this into an we're outing him out of the closet joke?
Mike,
is that what you're doing?
It was simply
as I'm
pun.
Talking about
That's
my
all.
Son. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No,
and
but
I would
the door,
him.
Mike, the door is out. You said the door is out of the closet.
The door is out. Oh, and you're saying the happier door.
It's
right,
a
punkster.
Happier door now. Yeah. Glad we did that.
What?
I'm glad we
now you're
going to
take a poll after you have your little underbreath comment. What is that? What you're going
to
take a poll?
I'm glad we took the time to analyze it. It's good for the joke.
So, anywho,
yes,
I'm wrestling with it. We have a last minute popping it onto the bottom track, which is problem. We knew if we can sort of lift it up, pry it up. I know there's a tool in the inside the garage at my toolbox that will pry that up and lift that up and pop it right onto the track, and we should be okay. I go out to get the tool, look to my right. The top of Jake's enclosure had not been replaced 4 hours earlier. No
at this initial, Mike, when you initially realized that.
How loud was that, by the way? Was that
it was
super
perfect.
Loud?
No, it was okay. Perfect.
Thank you.
When you see that and you go through, I'm sure, an immediate thought process, you say terrarium's uncovered, you notice that he's not in the terrarium, obviously, right, do you think there is any chance that he made a break for it in the wild blue leander?
He's not in the terrarium. He if you leave that
no but I'm
off,
talking about you said that the door was open for a while in the garage. Do you think he might
no, because he was in there when the door I closed the garage door when we left.
Okay, good.
The garage
door has
been closed the whole time.
Good.
The terrarium lid, the little screened lid, is off. It's been off for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. But I believe because the door to the house was shut, and I don't think he has the capability like mice do of flattening their bodies. These are all
have
thoughts
you ever,
that go through my head. Yeah.
Have you ever given the snake a key so he could get in?
I'm glad you're enjoying yourself.
Mike, you know what? I'm just trying to lighten the mood because I know this is a this is a hard situation.
Lighten
that.
Mike,
all right. That's rude.
I know he is in the garage, almost 100% sure. He has escaped. This would be the third or the fourth, perhaps the third. I think it's the third escape from Jake. Twice, my fault, probably all three times my fault for just racing around and forgetting to put the lid back on. And so the hunt begins. Michael is calm. I'm calm. I am relatively confident he will be found in the garage, and it'll probably be less of a hassle than it would be in a bedroom.
Of
There's
course.
Just
now, in
less
previous,
stuff going on in here.
In previous escapes, does Jake have a place that he likes to go in the garage?
In previous escapes, he has gone upwards, where he's a climber. That's what they live in trees, so they're climbing. It's not scary until I tell Mrs. O'Mara, and then she freaked out, and then she said some very hateful and cruel things to me about when I die. The fate of the snake, and that is not, I did not need that at the end of the night, but I'll get to that in a second.
She brings that up, like,
she
after
does.
You're gone? Oh, that's dark.
Well, we'll get to that
All
in a
right.
second. Michael comes in. The door's still not fixed. We now have a priority where at about 9:20 at night, it's a snake hunt. Michael, God bless him, finds the snake. You know that water heater I have in here at the corner, the back right-hand corner?
Yeah.
His little snake head is sticking out from the corner of the water heater. I reach down, and he retreats, and you hear Not that he's hissing. He's just sliding along underneath the water heater.
Well, he wants out. He doesn't like the terrarium. He likes having the garage.
They are. This is on a video I saw when I first got the snake. It was said that they are escape artists. That if you don't have the proper kind of terrarium or you leave it open, and they like to roll. They love to get out. That's what they're. That's the way they roll. I see the snake. We have it located. I finally get the thing out, and it's back into the terrarium. And as soon as I put him into it, he was going up the side like he wanted to get out again.
He was checking to see if the top was there because he thought
he liked
done
his
this
adventure.
Before. Yeah,
he liked his adventure, you know. And the animal rights activist in me, Rob, thought that perhaps you know, if only I could give him more space. Much like I say about my own family here, if only I could give them more space.
I mean,
maybe we wouldn't have sliding closets that we would need to maximize the space for my son's teeny tiny little closet.
Ideally, would you like to have like a snake room that he
could
have?
Well, when you see my favorite guys online, there's a guy that handles cobras. He's on the east coast of the state, and he's been bitten by a cobra and actually lost the tip of his finger. He's a young guy. He's really cool. Don't know his name. Maybe someday we'll have him on the show, or maybe not. I don't know.
We might want to get to him sooner rather than later.
Young dude knows how to, but he has massive enclosures for his larger snakes. But no, snakes
are fine.
How much
of his finger is missing? Like an inch, or just the very tip?
Above the third knuckle.
Wow, that's more than the tip. That's probably, you know, half a finger.
Well, as I used to say at American University all the time, just the tip. I don't know why I said that, but I did.
I think we were both dancing around it. I'm glad you said
that. I'm calming down. Flash forward to this morning.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you guys, and you said your level's not right. Your level's not right. And I suddenly realized that he's crawled all over this studio. And
that's
true. What does a snake do? He rolls across knobs. And volumes get turned down and turned up. And things get messed up. And even my camera setting, which has an automatic switch, he somehow disrupted that. I think, unless there was a ghost that came in here, I think that's what it had to be. I think that's exactly what happened when he came in here.
It's amazing that he can figure out the camera presets better than we can.
Tell the truth. You know, if you really want to be honest, you can. Better than I can.
No, because I can't do them either. I've worked with that model of camera before. I can never remember how to preset it. And yet the snake is in there resetting everything.
I will try to do it after the show today, but I am serving now with my back injury and not going out. I thought about what I do down here, and what I do with my life is I do this show, and then I am free 3 or 4 days a week to venture off and spend the rest of my day pursuing the sport that I love.
Right.
And not only is it pursuing a sport I love, it is my opportunity to falsely pretend that I have something really important to do. I don't. It's not important, but it gets me out of the house.
It is important to you.
It's important to me, and I realize that I am not a Mr. Mom kind of guy. But because I am in the house, and Carla knows this, because I am injured with my back, that I have to wait to get fixed until the great God of government smiles its face on me on June 1st, I'm not paying. So I got to take some time off and rest it because I can't get out there and
days,
play.
31 days, Jerry. 31 days.
31 days. And I will be on the government teat as
Bless
where
your
I
heart.
Want to be. Damn right. I paid for it.
I know. I'm glad for you.
I'm
can't
happy
wait for it
for
to
that.
Happen.
So with that said, as Carla ventures off that the following day, she says to me, this is before snake emergency.
Snake.
By the way, the whole time my day was going here at the house being Mr. Mom, I know that there's a snake crawling around the garage.
Right.
All day long. And I'm still coming off this cold that I had too.
And what happened,
to the pictures I was supposed to see this week?
It's the last goddamn time.
So I want somebody to use his effing brain and put the Scarlet recording device next to my hands. So anyway, Carla is gone. And as she's leaving the house yesterday, and I am about to venture into the studio to do an early taping. She said, I said, is there anything I can do? I always say that. Is there anything I can do? Because it shows perhaps not sincerity.
Well, of course it's not sincere on either side.
But it shows my, she said, well, you know, you're a good cook. Wouldn't be mine. And I'm like, you know what? That'll relax me. I will make something for dinner. I will actually, now this is something you have done your whole life because you were trained by your wife early on in the relationship. This is not something I do.
I am the best wife Carrie could hope for.
Yeah, well, you're more in touch, and I don't mean this to cast any aspersions on you at all. You are much more in touch with your female side than your male side.
It has
you
nothing like to sports. Do with that. It has nothing to
like
do with
sports.
That.
You don't like sports. You don't like conflict. You are low T. Right.
But
you have fathered
not.
Two children. You have fathered. You have fathered children.
I am not
children.
Low T because I have been tested. But okay. Mike, it has to do with how I was brought up.
You like to do domestic things. You like to cook. You like to clean. You like to organize.
Oh, I am so into having a tidy workspace and a clean house and good food. I don't think that makes me a problem.
I don't think. Did I say it was a problem? I said I don't want to cast aspersions. Why are you getting defensive right now? You are in touch with that side, the domesticated side of you. You are very comfortable being in the house, preparing a meal for the family, and doing the laundry, right?
I like. Well, I do my laundry. That's it. I don't do.
Okay, you don't do Carrie's laundry, or
no.
Well, the kids are out of the house, so do they bring their laundry back home? Like I used to do it when I was in college,
and they do it. Yeah. So.
But back in the day, did you do everybody's laundry?
Never did.
Okay, it was only yours.
Because you know why? I hate little kids' socks.
I do too. I'm with you on that one, but I don't
get involved in that.
My laundry consists of bringing a laundry basket from my bedroom to the laundry room, and I occasionally will help hang things up.
Yeah, I have a big straw laundry basket that I balance on my head, and I take it into the laundry room, and I do my wash. I don't divide by colors. I just do the
like you're in a third world country.
Exactly, Mike. There's a good way to do it.
You're wearing a sarong?
Yes, a flowered sarong.
You are. But you're more domesticated than I am.
I agree. And also, Mike, what it falls down to is I'm a better cook than Carrie.
Okay.
All the way around. I run a better kitchen. My kitchen is spotless because of my training. I think that you're a good cook, but I think Carla's cooked for me. She's a good cook, too.
I want to see if I've got the sound of the lady that I decide that I am going to, it's going to relax me.
Yes.
And I am going to.
And you did. That is, to be truthful, Mike, you do like to cook. When you fall into some of the things that you are good at cooking, you like it.
So online, you sent me this sound. I've been following this lady.
Lekker.
You know her?
Mm-hmm.
She is
the German
faceless,
pregnant cook.
And at one point she was wearing an outfit that exposed her midsection with a tie right underneath her chest. Mm-hmm. And she was pregnant. Ripe with child. And she creates this dish that involves ground beef, potatoes, tomato sauce, and onions. As
Sounds
simple
like a,
as
like
simple.
A goulash almost without the noodles.
It appears to me that I want to make the simplest thing I possibly can. She has more elaborate recipes, but this is super fast. It involves browning the ground beef, then adding the onions, then cutting up four russet potatoes, mm-hmm. and slicing, cutting them in half, and then dicing them into little half-inch
shoestrings
plates. No. Listen carefully. If you
I
heard
am.
Me, you cut the potato lengthwise, and then you chop the potato so they're little medallions. They're little tiny half medallions.
Yes, okay.
And
I'm
then
with you.
Putting them into a casserole dish with olive oil and paprika. Salt and pepper, mixing
Love
up,
paprika.
And then putting them in the oven at about 370 for 20 minutes where they brown, and then taking the ground beef, putting it on top of the potatoes, and then putting mozzarella cheese on top of the ground beef.
You've drained the ground beef, and you've already added
the
tomatoes,
right? I did not drain it.
Oh, not drainage. Was it a lean ground beef?
Fatty. Yes, it was lean. So
okay,
I wanted
well,
to
then
leave
you're
the
fine. Yeah.
Goodness. It was, all right, Alton, all right. And then it was delicious, and the family loved it. But that was, I didn't know that all that time that I'm doing this fantastic meal, by the way, which was, can I be honest with you?
Please.
Really, the behavior of both my wife and my son, it was like it was expected. And you know, and then not until last night,
that's
right when I was crawling into bed.
Trend. That's a
thank
bad
thank you
trend.
So much for making that delicious food. And I said, you made my, and she said it right before bed. And it was like, you made my night, that it was not, this is not the norm. And it made me feel special. And the snake was in his enclosure. And I went to Dreamland with a little assistance from NyQuil, and everything was right with the world. So the day, filled with its ups and downs, and the escape of Jake, and the food that I made, well, ended up perfect. And the moral of the story is, if
yes.
you are in a role where you are going to be domestic for a day, yeah, embrace it. Grab it by the boobs and squeeze, and take advantage of every moment. And there's still plenty of leftovers there. And the only problem I had with that dish, she makes it with the little balls of mozzarella. She
fresh
rolls
mozzarella,
up a little ball,
yes.
the fresh mm-hmm. mozzarella, and then she enhances that cheese with shredded mozzarella,
okay.
which apparently is a different melting consistency.
Yes.
And
we
then
talked
the
about last week, we talked about shredded cheeses and how they're coated and that people have been washing their cheese to get
right.
rid of the chemicals. So the fresh mozzarella is absolutely in its pure state. I imagine it does have a different melting point than the shredded.
And I would have found that out if the Sprouts, the hippie store across the street from us where I did my grocery
shopping.
Tell me shopping,
it's not called Sprouts.
It's Sprouts.
I would.
It's a chain down
you
here.
You couldn't pay me to shop at a place called Sprouts.
They were the closest alternative, and they have, much like your Lidl or Lidl.
Lidl.
Lidl has, it has great, great beef. And the
okay.
ground beef was fantastic that I
all
used.
Right.
However, because they're Sprouts and they cater to, you know, Birkenstock wearing cargo pants wearers, they, you know what they served up?
That's
I picked
mean.
Out that I picked up, but not in the same way. You know
you're
what
right.
I'm talking
you're
about.
You're right.
The shredded cheese I got, and I didn't know until the last second it says dairy free, and I
no,
go,
no,
mother effer.
Oh, you can't do that. No,
that's like sugar free syrup.
Yeah, you know, believe me, I've dealt with the vegan lifestyle. Julia was vegan for a little while.
Right.
She's more sensible now. And she's dating a vegan. And they love
the
talking
mascot?
About...
The mascot?
Yeah, they love talking about being vegan.
And they're still together? How are they doing? How long have they been together?
Like 2 years.
Okay, they got plenty of time. And in the modern age, kids don't get married. I've resigned myself to that fact, that there will not be a wedding. And that's fine with me if I die before a wedding, because then it'll save me
that.
Some money.
Quit saying that. Yeah,
well,
you've got two
you know,
daughters, Spencer.
By the way, at the end of the night, when Carla was aware of the escape of Jake, and she said, just so you know, when you're not around any longer, that snake is going. And I said, I didn't need that. I didn't need the fact that you're going to get rid of the snake. I said, what, are you going to kill it? That's a very violent thing. She says, no, I'll return it to another home. I said, what, are you going to stand on the street and say, snakes for sale? I don't see that on the you
that's
know,
my
the,
favorite
the little
scene
telephone
in Oliver,
pole.
Mike. That's my favorite scene in Oliver. Snakes for sale.
Lecker. That's my lady. So she
well, I'm
said
very
that.
Sorry
painful.
About the dairy-free cheese. That's a crisis. Also,
threw
you know
it away.
What? Yeah,
I threw
you
it away
to.
Because it would not have worked with the regular cheese. And so
after the holidays, I also threw away dairy-free butter.
Yeah, okay. It's the same kind of thing. You want
yeah.
The fresh mozzarella kind of melts in place like a cloud. It just sits there. It doesn't brown all that much. It just,
right.
It's like a cloud.
Soften.
The shredded... Yeah. Stuff would have probably created a bit of a crust. The next time I make the dish, which I will,
yeah.
Now I can make it off the top of my head. I know exactly how to do it. Not complex at all. By the way, you put the ground beef mixture over the potatoes, cover it with cheese. It's like a potato lasagna. It was spectacular.
You need to name it, Mike. You need to name it, and I think you should call it Potatoes O'Mara.
I'm not sure I want to do that because I don't know whether the German lady has a name for it. Okay. She does have a name for it. The name
she does.
Is Great Rack. That's the name for it. I feel I don't want to be sexist and politically incorrect. God no. knows we've got that in the news today because of the world tour that Rob wants to talk about of Jerry Seinfeld
Boo.
Being everywhere. But it is not something that I relish. I like doing it once every now and then, but I don't think I could do it. Because
what if you just had to cook for yourself?
I'd hate it.
You would?
I would hate it. I don't food since I've been losing the weight. A lot of stuff is prepackaged for me. There are often days that I have a couple of protein bars and vegan
and
bites for and for dinner. You can eat. That's it. But because I'm injured, what I like to do is I like to be out with the old farts and come in and have a Guinness and talk about the bet and how you played that day, and then come home, have a protein bar, to bed, what a day. Maybe hang out with my kid, throw the ball around with him a little bit. And then so at one point I am exhausted after my day of domesticity, and I noticed that Michael and Carla are in the backyard throwing a football, and I haul myself out, even with my back injury. I said, I've got to participate because this is not right. And I go out there, and yes, I realize in this fluidity of society we live in today that there are no specific roles. A woman can do anything a man can do outside of certain things.
So
I go out and I throw the ball with him. And the day ended
up. Was the reason that she was throwing the ball? Is she going to start selling footballs at TMOSstore.com?
Michael was told by his head coach to prepare himself for the fall season by improving his short burst running and improving his cuts, which means his shifting in the field, because she said he should be prepared for more time at running back than at equal time at running back and at linebacker, which means he's got to be elusive and he's got to work on that. And that's what he's doing. It's great to watch. I walk outside. He drops a pass. Carla says, get down five. And he's doing five push-ups on the ground. So she's training him, basically.
She doesn't say that to you, does she?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have it.
You might still be out there.
Yeah. So all in all, a great domestic day.
Well, you did, Mike. You did what I have always told you to do: is never go to bed mad at each other.
That happens to us all the time.
No. She thanked you, and all was well. And I bet you had
how many? How many times did you go to bed without any conversation with Carrie? Be honest.
50%.
Is that good or bad, whether you've had a fight or not, or whether you've had an argument?
Oh, if you mean without argument, 75%. Sometimes it's just courtesy.
Never. So what's the rule that you're trying to impose on me that you don't follow yourself? What is it?
No, they always say you should never go to bed angry.
They always say, okay, that makes sense to me now. I get that.
I don't say that. I was joking when I said that.
I've
gone to bed mad. I've gone to bed mad at the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to.
I know you have. We have a common past, Mike.
It's not the same. If you could follow that, it would be wonderful. But it's difficult to follow. It's difficult to follow where you have it. And then,
especially if they're playing with their phones.
Yes. Which our spouses tend to do.
Yes, all the time.
But to wake up in the morning and have the fantasy that you will receive an apology that never comes.
That is a fantasy. You wake up and you expect an apology and a jetpack, and neither of them happen. Ever.
That's it. But a man can hope. Man can hope.
As a matter of fact, we went to bed last night. We were in bed last night, and it was me and her and Linus, and Sebastian was not in bed yet, so there was actually room. And we shut off the lights. I said, hey, why aren't you on your phone? And she says, why would I be? I said, because you are on your phone every night when you go to bed. Every night. What's the matter? She says, well, I'm just not on my phone. I said, okay. But I think she thought she was being courteous to me by not playing with her phone. But I don't care.
We should discuss the mindless surfing that we all do now.
Yeah.
That supersedes a lot of deeper thinking. I'd love to discuss that at some point with you, because I would assume that when she is on her phone late at night, as my wife is. Now, my wife does a tremendous amount of work for the show. So she's on, responding to customers through her business and through our business. But at the same time, I think most of it is kind of just that mindless. Yep. That's why the video shorts are out there. I mean, that's why people consume them. And I just think it has eliminated our, if we had short attention spans before, we have even shorter attention spans now.
You know what? I am someone who likes to focus on television and movies and really watch them. But I've even gotten to a point that I scroll while while TV's on.
Because it's not stimulating enough to sit down and get the gist of a plot, whether it's a television show or not, and linger. And I somehow think that's bad for us as human beings.
I guarantee you it's bad. I guarantee you it's bad, yeah.
We will discuss. We have to take a break.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you ever research stuff you're watching on your phone? I'm big on going to IMDb when I'm watching something on the TV.
Not necessarily the way you do it, but yeah, I do it occasionally where I'll see something like an individual or whether somebody like I didn't realize Bob Uecker was alive until right before the show today.
Well, let's check on that.
He's 90. We'll be right back. Summertime, hot weather requires extraordinary hydration, ladies and gentlemen. All right, see, this is the thing here. Thank you very much.
Are you going to bemoan your new mouse?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, Mike,
Liquid IV hydrates you
with
benefits like electrolytes, essential. Can I do the commercial, please?
Yes, I wish you would.
Yeah, it just crapped out and I had to turn it back on. Hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink in a single stick, it's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. The secret is LIV Hydroscience. Is that what it is?
Yes.
LIV
Hydroscience. Liquid IV Hydroscience, yeah.
The science-backed formula that's an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients to turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. It's a zero-sugar hydration solution with no artificial sweeteners, clinically tested to hydrate more than water alone. I love this stuff. Tear, pour, live more. One stick, 16 ounces of water. In my case, you can put a little more water in there if you want to taste. Hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com, everybody.
Mike, before you... Oh, look, there's the Kraken. He's bemoaning his mouse.
Yes.
The mouse that I recommended to you, you're not using it in the purpose in which I intended. It's a backup mouse for when your primary mouse goes out. Because you can charge that mouse while you're using it. But granted, it is a cheap mouse, and your Apple mouse will serve you better.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. If you're over 50 and use any of these terms, you're going to look so chuggy. Do you know chuggy? C-H-E-U-G-Y?
Never heard it.
That's the opposite of cool. C-H-E-U-G-Y.
Oh, okay.
Bob, you're so chuggy. Yeah. Here they are anyway. Somebody polled Gen Zers, and I have a 10-year-old now, and so I am already very aware of antiquated terminology that I use, and he mocks me for it because, you know, we're months behind, maybe even years behind. They polled Gen Zers, asked them to name the most outdated acronyms that they think are cringe now.
Okay, I know what that is, yeah.
For example, LOL is number one.
Laugh out loud.
That's outdated.
If you can't use that anymore?
You text that to somebody in their early 20s, they'll think you're a boomer, even if you're not. Here are the 10 more outdated terms and what Gen Zers might say instead. Instead of YOLO, what is YOLO? I don't even know YOLO.
You only live once.
Right. D-I-F-T-P. It means do it for the plot.
And I guess the plot is like your life?
You're the main character in your life, so don't avoid things. Do what it takes to move the story along.
Naboo, I don't buy that. Not for
number two, instead of KK, do you know what KK means?
It means okay, right?
All right, yeah. You write B-E-T, bet.
Like Robert uses this a lot. Yeah, Robert uses
bet
that
means
one.
The same things like you bet. Yeah. Instead of LMFAO, one of my all-time favorites.
Laughing
I love that.
My
if something's
effing
really
ass
funny,
off, yeah.
Right, IJBOL, short for I just burst out laughing. That's stupid.
That's stupid.
That's force feeding. That's LMFAO is one of the great ones, and mm-hmm. you're force feeding something just to be new. Just to be new, which doesn't work for me. Stop using ROFL.
Rolling on the floor laughing.
Right. Instead, just send a skull emoji. Like, it's so funny you just died laughing. That I like, because ROFL is too much for me.
Yeah, I oftentimes text the emoji of the coffin to my mother, and it's just to upset her.
Die laughing. Yes. Let's see. Don't shorten the word great by spelling G-R-8. That's old school.
I don't like
say,
that.
Here's the term. My son knew this. Mm-hmm. If you think something is great, you say, that slaps. The wings at Buffalo Chips. He even used it in a sentence for me. Dad, the wings at Buffalo Chips, they slap.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah.
That's great.
And
like
I've also, I've heard that used to music. That new record slaps. I've heard that.
Don't say diss. Say clap back instead.
Nope. Not going to do it.
Stop calling things fire. It's already lame.
Oh, Robert uses it all the time. It must be a West Virginia thing. Yeah,
it's old school. And lit is back in style now. That's lit.
Really?
Instead of that's fire. Hmm. I like lit better than fire. Don't call things gross. Call them ick.
I understand that, but I don't buy that. I think this is
I don't
gross.
Mind the dumbing down a little bit. That's okay with me. Number 9, never say, give me the 411. No one under 40 knows that the number for directory assistance is 411. Instead, say, what's the tea? Or spill the tea.
Spill the tea. I've heard this, yeah.
It's very nice. I like spill the tea. I'm down with that one, too.
Okay.
Probably shouldn't say down with it anymore.
I don't know, Mike. Just don't diss it.
And number 10, stop calling crazy people cray. In 2024, I love this one too. I like the last three. They're DeLulu. And you know that's
I don't mind
delusional.
That. I like that.
That's wonderful.
One of my
like
favorite
that.
Acronyms is on a carved sign at the 29 Diner in Fairfax. Very, very old school diner from the 40s.
Yeah.
And it says YCJYAQFTJB. And everyone sees it, and everyone asks about it. And they say, you sure you want to ask about it? And you say, yeah. And they said, your curiosity just cost you a quarter for the jukebox. And they make you play a song.
Yeah, okay. That's your type of thing. You like that, right?
I do, yeah. Because you know why? It's the man getting one over on the customer.
That's what you've always believed in.
I have.
Yes. The Free Britney movement may have been the worst thing that could have happened to Britney Spears.
Mike,
that's
this
how
morning,
this story started. I had to take it as soon as I read that.
This morning, I had a Free Britney movement.
The so-called sources, leave Britney alone if you have it. I'd love to hear it. The so-called sources say Britney is doing way worse than she ever was under her conservatorship. She is completely dysfunctional, apparently, and having radical mood swings.
But is she DeLulu?
She's DeLulu. Britney is DeLulu. Even though she had $60 million when the conservatorship ended, she is now in danger of going broke because she's spending millions on lavish trips to places like French Polynesia and Hawaii.
Yeah,
TMZ
nice
also spoke with a Hollywood psychologist who has not treated Britney, but his diagnosis from afar is that Britney needs to be back under a conservatorship, and if she's not taking meds, she should be forced to.
Do you think Britney would do better if they didn't pay so much attention to her?
Leave Britney alone! Please!
That's such an old
Leave Britney Spears alone right now!
It's Chris Crocker.
I mean it. Anyone who has a problem with her, you deal with me.
Exactly, Chris.
Because she's not well right now.
No.
Leave her alone.
Mike, she's not well right now.
Oh, that was a fun time. I like that a lot. Hey, in an interview with Page Six, Jerry Seinfeld said, political correctness shouldn't be a problem for comedians if they're smart enough to navigate around it. But now in an interview with The New Yorker, it sounds like he's saying the opposite. He criticized, quote, the extreme left and PC crap. He's getting curmudgeon-y, and he will continue to be curmudgeon-y. He's turning into an old curmudgeon.
It's always the seeds have always been there.
Yes.
He's smarter than everyone else. Just ask him. Yes, exactly.
Although in the case that he's talking about, he's talking mostly about TV comedy. Quote, there were no sitcoms picked up on the fall season on all four networks. Not one. No new sitcoms. Maybe it's not political correctness. Maybe it's because the genre has run its course.
Exactly.
I haven't
and also
watched,
options.
I haven't watched a regular sitcom in a decade, and I am not exaggerating.
Mike, no, you watched Little Reindeer. Baby Reindeer.
That's not a Baby Reindeer is not a sitcom.
And also you watched, and I didn't think it was funny, but you watched that show with Zendaya on HBO.
That's not a sitcom.
It's not? Everyone was so talking about it.
I don't know the opening to it. Euphoria.
Euphoria. Mike, everyone was talking about it. Great. I didn't laugh at it.
Jerry says that sitcoms aren't being picked up because networks would rather not do comedy than risk offending someone. But he says stand-ups get away with more because, quote, we are not policed by anyone. The audience polices us. We know when we're off track. We know instantly, and we adjust to it. Okay, regarding this, I completely understand the challenges presented to comedians and to sitcom writers when you're talking about political correctness.
Mm-hmm.
I have always said that in the realm of comedy, jokes, all of that, I believe people should get more liberty. They should get more of a free pass because the whole concept of joke reality and comedy in many, many circumstances is the lack of political correctness, is the fact that you are saying something totally inappropriate. That's what makes it funny because it's a taboo. You're breaking a societal norm. So coming down on somebody because of that, I get it. I go back and I look at Don Rickles and I see the inappropriate things he said. I don't think of them as politically incorrect. I think of them as a bit dated. And perhaps in the world we live in now, because society's norms change, cringeworthy. I get that. At the same time, I think there's plenty of opportunity to test boundaries with stand-up comedians. And I think it's funny when they do that.
We see it all the time. Yeah, I agree. But what bothers me about Jerry is that I will occasionally happen on an old episode of Seinfeld on Comedy Central. And I don't think that show has aged particularly well. It was the hottest thing when it was on, but I don't think it's aged that well. And also, and this is for another time, but I think Jerry is overstepping his bounds by making a movie about Pop-Tarts. And for some reason, it's really pissing me off.
It's right in that B-movie category as far as...
Well, that's it. People forgot that that was an utter failure, too.
Yeah. Huh. And, you know, he's still trying to... And he's out there, and it's all Jerry all the time because he's trying to promote the movie.
And
that's
he's smart. He can figure out how to, you know, be better than everyone else.
You'll relate to this. UltimateClassicRock.com put together a list of the 40 longest touring streaks in rock music. In order to qualify, the artist had to have at least one performance in a calendar year. It could be a concert or TV performance. And I have the top 15. You want to try to guess any that you think?
Guess one would be, gosh, I don't think they did it every year, though, but the Rolling Stones have been touring since 1963, and they're touring now. Are they on the list?
Let me see. I'm looking. Not in the top 15.
Okay. Let's see. Who else in the 60s?
They skipped 14, though, which I don't understand.
Was there a tie maybe for 15?
Yeah. There was a tie at number two. All right, let me ask you this. Who do you think's number one? Longest touring. You know them.
Chicago?
You're close.
Okay, who is
it? Think same type of music, basically. Same type of, you know. They probably toured together.
Yeah, they do tour together. The Beach Boys?
There it is.
Really?
1961 to the present. 63 years.
Well, because there's three organizations touring as the Beach Boys now.
At number two, it's a tie. Chicago, REO Speedwagon, Santana, Jackson Brown, Blue Oyster Cult, and Van Morrison. That's 67 to the present, 57 years. Wow.
A question about REO Speedwagon. They have to have performed every year, but does someone have to come to the show?
They go back a long way. Look, if I had a free ticket and nothing better to do, I'd go to an REO Speedwagon.
Do you know what an REO Speedwagon is?
No, I do not know.
It's a fire truck. It's a classic fire truck.
Thank you.
There you go.
That makes you happy, doesn't it, when you do
that? In a way, yes, it does, because not only is it a piece of trivia, but also, Mike, firemen fight for our safety. Let's hear it for the first responders.
Number eight, another megastar. Another megastar on the list. Absolute megastar. Think old.
Old. Did Tony Bennett? Did he?
No, this is rock.
Oh, it's all rock. Old.
Rock music. Elton John.
Elton John. Oh, well, yeah, he's over now. He's
56 years, 68 to the present. At number nine, they put it in the rock category, War and Kool and the Gang, 1969 until now, 55 years.
Both
number
great.
11, think rock folk, pop folk.
Peter, Paul, and Mary.
America.
Really?
1970 to the present, 54 years American
Wow.
Road.
Yeah.
Number 12, I think you've been to this concert. Cheap Trick? What? Have you been to Cheap Trick?
I've never seen Cheap Trick.
73 to the present, 51 years. At 13, there is a tie between Eric Clapton and Kansas. 1974 to the present, 50 years. And at number 15, he's a Midwestern icon rocker sucking on a chili dog, ladies and gentlemen.
John Cougar Mellencamp. Or
John Mellencamp, 1976 to the present, 48 years. Stones, just watching.
So well, I think that's because they took years off. I don't think they qualify for that. But I'm pleased that Kansas and Clapton are tied, because Kansas has not come out yet as an anti-vaxxer. But
I close
has.
My eyes.
You had to play that one a couple times.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are only listening to us to drown out the sound of traffic, you're welcome. We might be saving your life right now. A new study found too much traffic noise can literally kill you.
Oh, no.
Probably not today, though. It's a more gradual process. Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania worked with experts in Europe to see how the sound of traffic affects your health, and it's not good. They say, case closed, the sound of horns and engines causes significant stress, which leads to heart disease, strokes, and other issues long term. Commuting isn't the only time we're exposed to it. The bigger impact might come from sleeping in an area with heavy traffic, especially if it wakes you up. Well, that would be city dwellers, I would assume.
Yeah, but
right?
You know what? That's all European traffic with the horn that goes, na 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 na.
The added stress leads to more free radicals in your body. That means unstable atoms that can damage cells, causing illness and aging. Space travel, not included.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
A lack of sleep can also cause inflammation, which causes high blood pressure. They say cities should look at more ways to reduce noise pollution. A related study found that for every 10 decibels of excessive noise you're exposed to, your risk of cardiovascular disease increases by about 3%.
So that cinches it, because I've been trying to quit, but what I've been doing most of the day when we're not on the air is hitting my gong and firing a blank gun. So I'm going to
firing a rocket.
Yeah, I drop my pants and fire a rocket.
Let me ask, when you return to your hamlet in the Burg of Lees, do you when you get out of your car, do you hear significant road noise when you get out of your car?
No, it's silent. It's you know what we hear in our neighborhood? Barking dogs. That's it.
That's nice.
I love it.
Nice and gentle. Finally, last week, there was a story about road rage where a woman threw spaghetti at another car, which was being driven by a pregnant woman. Now there's this. A 46-year-old man in Florida named Nolan Goines got into a road rage incident last Thursday over glaring headlights. According to the police report, Nolan was so upset he threw pasta with sauce from the passenger seat of his vehicle, striking another driver through his open window. Yeah. The pasta hit the victim in the arms, legs, and torso. Nolan also got the spaghetti on himself. Neither man was seriously injured. Nolan was charged with misdemeanor battery and booked into the county jail. He's not an Italian chef. He's a painting contractor whose rap sheet includes convictions for selling marijuana, obstruction, and battery. He's had a history with the law.
Yes.
Remember, if you are going to rage out in traffic, throw the pasta, take the cannoli. Thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed that, ladies
That's
and gentlemen.
That's a good point, yeah. And I'm sorry, and you say that was John Nolan who did that?
John, former producer of the Mike O'Mara Show, the Don and Mike Show, John Feral Cats Nolan. Wonder if he still has his cats. We'll take a break, and we will come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, 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 whoa.
I love this music.
Did you know that Americans pay about twice as much for their wine as the best and the rest of the world? Why?
Why?
I'll tell you why, ladies and gentlemen. Because laws...
Don't rage on your mouse, Mike. That's just a backup mouse. Mouse.
Really glad I paid for it. Laws dating back to prohibition ensure the right of wholesalers to make big margins. That's crazy. So listen up. This podcast is sponsored by Naked Wines, a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet. So you get a box of the market's best quality wines for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores. Plus, you can pause or cancel at any time. So just because you've got a summer trip coming up doesn't mean you can't enjoy Naked Wines before. True. And after that much-needed vacation. Go to nakedwines.com/TMOS and click Enter Voucher in the top right when you get to the website. Then enter TMOS for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. nakedwines.com/TMOS and use the code and password TMOS to grab 6 bottles for just $39.99. nakedwines.com/TMOS, code and password TMOS for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Cheers. All right, it's your spot here, Rob Spiewak. What do you want to do?
I want to talk tomorrow about Seinfeld, since we've already talked a little bit about him today. But don't be fooled, America. The NFL is playing you for a rube.
How so? I mean, I don't doubt that they are manipulating their viewers and their fans. I think it's
the seeds were strewn this weekend on the. Do you listen? I know we're all aware of it, and I've seen it. The Pat McAfee Show.
Yeah, one of the wildly popular shows. Very popular right now. I think he's on ESPN, right?
Roger Goodell, the good-looking, or as you referred to him, the unkempt commissioner of the NFL.
He looked a little unkempt with his... when you're wearing a non-button-down blue dress shirt and it's undone at the top, you tend to look like you're driving home and taking your tie off from work. That's the look he had at the first night of the draft.
Right. He is saying, now the players' union ostensibly is against this, he wants to add another game to the NFL season, give each team 2 bye weeks, and because of this, he says, we can put the Super Bowl on President's Day weekend, and you can have Monday off.
I know you don't like sports like I do.
I don't know, but you know, I like to follow football. I watch it, but here's Mike, here's
but
why.
I love it now. I'm all in. And he's preaching to the choir, and I think he's doing this because they're very calculated. They research what their fans are going to dig, and the idea of having the Super Bowl on a 3-day weekend would be super cool.
And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's extending the season by a week and therefore another week of revenue. Nothing to do with that.
No, of course it is more revenue. Of course, but I mean, I'm not bitter about it, but isn't President's Day, is that a floating holiday? Is it, or is that a regular holiday?
I think it's the second or third Monday in February. I think that's how they figure it. It's always a Monday.
I think it's very similar to, doing this, giving people what they want would be very similar to the Mike O'Mara Show doing a show in Las Vegas. People love it. They like the destination.
No,
I like
the
destination.
We're not doing to secretly bilk them out of revenue, Mike. We're doing it because we love to entertain.
Well, we'd like to make a little money on it.
Mike,
We're not bilking. We're offering a product. You're offering a product, and you are offering a product that would be... I don't care for 2 bye weeks, but you have to do that because of the players' union, because you can't have them playing an extra game and risking injury and all that. Now, the question
the bye
is,
week, as also, that's another week of full revenue for
it
the
is
NFL.
Another week of full revenue, and I would be interesting. It would be interesting to see how the Players Association would react to that, because that you're asking these guys to have a longer season, put their bodies on the line.
They're
with
against
more
it,
games.
So they say. Yeah, they say they're against
it's
it.
It's not going to subtract a game. It's going to add a game, but you're going to add a week of rest two to heal up, and they have to do that. Is there anything in this article you read about or the interview with Pat McAfee that indicates how the players might feel about something like that?
Yeah, right now the players' union is against it, which is going to be their knee jerk.
Doesn't
but you know
me.
What? They'll make if the NFL says it's going to happen, they're just going to have the opportunity to bitch. They can't not do it if that's what the NFL says.
You are
right?
dealing now with a behemoth that has, I was just like you where I was saying scam. It is the, look, the TV
they
revenue.
Are so, Mike, they are so powerful, though.
They're
the
so powerful,
so
and
powerful.
Their TV revenue, there is no sport more designed for television ad revenue than the NFL.
They grew up together, essentially. I mean, television,
did.
Yeah, and football.
They did, but when I am, if you had told me, Robin, you know this, 10 years ago, that I would be sitting down with my kid and waiting till the Giants had the sixth pick in the draft to see who they would get first, if I would be watching highlights this morning when he first got out of bed, that was a highlight reel of every New York Giants draft pick, that is, I am now the less passionate fan, but I am the average fan. They are we are all drinking the Kool-Aid, and we are all taking the prime working months of the year where everybody is slaying the dragon and getting to that Sunday. So any opportunity, I look at it this way, any opportunity to have, especially with a game that starts at 6:30 at night, to have the next day free to chill out, I kind of get it. I know it disgusts you. You need to warm to the NFL a little bit.
No, you know what? I love the product. I'll give you that.
You would. No, you do not. Now tell the truth.
No, Mike, I watch football every Sunday. Carrie likes it. It's the boys' home. We watch three games.
Okay.
I do like the product. But what makes me unhappy is the control that the NFL exerts, and they use it all the time. I've cited this before. When they made that movie called Concussion, that was a great movie that talked about football players being injured in long term, it went away in 10 days.
I get it.
I know that they flex their muscle for stuff like that. And in a way, it's hard for me to blame them because
I think
when
their
you're
most
that
recent
powerful,
story regarding that might have been their allowed to wear these extra cushioning layers over their helmet now. That diminishes the chance of a head injury. They wear them in practice all the time. They don't wear them in my kids' practice. They should. They're a bunch of protocols.
But does it make the helmet look extra big like the Great Gazoo?
It makes the helmet look like the Great Gazoo. It does. It looks
it does
doofy.
Really?
It looks completely doofy. And you know what they're counting on? They're probably counting on the fact that the players, it's going to be a machismo thing where they're not
going
to put those
be
things on top of
exactly.
their helmet. It's kind of like when they implemented the face masks into the NHL or even the helmets into the NHL.
Yeah.
You had that slow turnover for guys that wanted to be tough guys. Tough
well,
guys.
Goodell's quote is, that ends up on President's Day weekend, which is a three-day weekend.
You think, he's evil. He's evil.
Yeah, he is.
I get it.
So
they,
anyway.
They quash that type of
just,
stuff.
Just we'll see what happens. I think by the very fact that Goodell talked about it on a podcast, I think that means it's a done deal. So we'll see what happens.
Did
and
you
they
see
haven't released
the
schedule this year, right? Have they?
Yeah, they've released perhaps the teams, but not exactly the dates and times yet.
Okay, so they could still make it happen this year.
That's why I know that, because I'm a real ridiculous super
You're so
fan.
Proud. Look how proud you are.
When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a new taste treat for Rob Spiewak, and I wonder whether anybody else is digging it like my family is digging it, ladies and gentlemen. My family, I say that where I might not be sold on the product myself, but they love it. We will be right back with that and more fun right here. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. All right, this is the last day, folks. This is the last day you have for the official TMOS Don't Get Happy Society t-shirt. Now available. If you want to be a member in good standing of the TMOS Don't Get Happy Society, you need this official apparel. Official. Sanctioned by moi. This striking navy blue and gold t-shirt is available in all sizes and is also available in ladies' v-neck.
Ladies.
Sexy. These shirts are roomy. They are breathable. They are moisture wicking. Especially if you want to remove the moisture from the decolletage.
Stop it. Now you're trying the creepy method to move product?
They have PosiCharge technology, which
love
is
it.
Nice. Visit our store. It's open 24 hours, and we stop selling these at midnight. These shirts are only available till April 30th. That's today.
Today,
jerkface. Plus, pick up a Mike O'Mara Show koozie, required summertime paraphernalia. So hurry up and support the show you love. Every purchase keeps the laughs coming. TMOSstore.com, the source for all things TMOS. Official, authentic, and awesome. Thank you for your support. And remember our wonderful motto, Rob Speed.
That's right. You'll love it at Levitt's.
No.
No, I'm sorry. If you don't buy it, we won't sell it.
All right. I am looking up this product.
That's a singing one.
Right.
You love it at Levitt's. It's a furniture store.
I don't have it right. I knew I didn't have it right. I brought it to the show. This is what is being devoured in our house right now.
Is it sweet or savory?
It's called mochi. Are you familiar?
Oh, Julia loves it. It looks disgusting to me.
All right, let me see if there is an explanation of what mochi is. All right, mochi is a Japanese product. And I want to make sure I get it right when it is ice cream. Mochi is ice cream, a confection made from Japanese mochi with an ice cream filling. It was invented by Japanese American businesswoman and community activist Frances Hashimoto. With help from her husband. There, I found it. I've got the detailed description of it. It's a small round confection consisting of a soft, pounded, sticky rice dumpling
formed
around an ice cream filling. The ice cream adds flavor and creaminess to the confection, while the mochi adds sweetness and texture. And that's where they lose me. I am just not sure how sweet the mochi rice dough is, but Julia's eating it up too.
I have seen her devour a box of them, and I think it would, Mike, this goes back to my drinking days, so I can't tell you for sure. I think that I found the texture off-putting because it sort of slides around in your mouth.
And they put like a flour.
Yes.
Without, it's not powdered sugar, it's flour. And I like my desserts sweet. I mean, if you're going to have a sweet, have a sweet. You
exactly.
can eat.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. The whole thing is that. They come in flavors. If you haven't tried now, have
strawberry,
you tried it?
Strawberry, right, is one of them?
You've tried it, I take it?
Yeah, I think I have, but it was some time ago, a few years ago.
Chocolate, strawberry, other flavors such as Kona coffee, plum wine, green tea, and red bean.
Gross.
That might be savory. Mochi can also be flavored as a complement to the ice cream filling. When making mochi, it is dusted with either, it's not even flour. It's dusted with either potato or cornstarch
to keep it from caking
while being formed and handled.
All right, Mike, here's a slight footnote to this story. Stop making green tea. Stop making things that taste like green tea. Green tea has no flavor. Don't do green tea.
Well,
and red bean has nowhere. You don't want red bean anywhere near a dessert. What is that, red bean?
Now, I don't know if it's a dessert or it's a savory item, but
we're having
it is
mochi
wildly
for dinner.
Popular. I'm talking about it's in our freezer, and 2 days later, I mean, we got five packages in there, and 2 days later, it's gone. And it comes in these little plastic egg cartons, and I see them periodically around the house because people are going. And I don't know what I'm missing because they are so wildly popular. And I almost wonder if they're more popular with women than men, but my kid likes them and he's my son and
I think it's youthful.
Too.
I think it's a youthful thing that for a while the Japanese bubble sodas were real popular among kids. That had like
it says here mochi ice cream gained huge popularity in the UK following a viral TikTok trend which began in January of 2021. There it is if you want to know what starts things in the world. The trend of looking for little moons in big Tesco became a sensation. I have no idea what I'm reading. Receiving 341.8 million views and a surge in sales of 14% in Tesco alone.
What you know, Tesco? People are all about weird food and they love their weird stuff, but I'll tell you what's better than mochi is a Good Humor almond bar. Give me that any day.
a Häagen-Dazs almond chocolate bar with vanilla
also,
ice cream.
Also great. Oh, yeah. Well, I most know the of the Häagen-Dazs like, products.
If you had to choose between the Häagen-Dazs and the Costco ice cream bar, which would you choose?
I would go with the Costco.
Because it's why? Why?
Well, it's they are very, very particular about their fat content and mouthfeel, and also it's cheaper.
How do you
so
know
what's
that?
Not to like?
How do you know that they're particular about their mouthfeel?
Have
you know?
Ever had just a bowl of Costco vanilla ice cream, the kind you have to buy 2 half-gallons together?
No.
It's the best vanilla ice cream.
I was reading something else. I apologize.
It's the best vanilla ice cream you've ever had. It's so good. Wow.
Okay.
Dense well, then, and sweet. And nice.
There's that, but you shouldn't be eating it. They conceived the idea of taking small orbs of ice cream. This is Francis Hashimoto.
Orbs.
And wrapping them in a Japanese traditional mochi rice cake. Francis expanded on her husband's idea, inventing the fusion dessert, now popular, Mikawaya.
Okay.
Mikawaya is a company in America. They began production of mochi ice cream in the United States in 93. It's been around for a while. Research and development took over a decade ago to evolve into mass production. And Mikawaya debuted their mochi ice cream in 94. Frozen treat was so popular, it captured 15% of the novelty frozen treat market during its first 4 months. Mochi ice cream gained huge popularity in the UK. I mentioned that already.
Yeah,
so know, that's all I have on mochi.
Asian food is so good. Chinese food restaurants and Japanese food restaurants, they always drop the ball on dessert. They always do.
I'm trying to think. I don't think of going to one of those hibachi grills where you sit across from the redneck family doesn't speak.
Yes.
Am I right about that? Really?
You're absolutely right.
It is a dining form that is designed for social interaction, and it is populated in the United States by people too shy to talk.
I am just clicks and grunt. I am overtly open when we go to a hibachi restaurant. I love
you want to socialize.
I do, absolutely.
Do you start it with your Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis greeting when you sit down? Do you start it with that?
How you been?
How you been? You working? That's interesting. We got to take a break. Mochi, please. Ask for
none
it by
for
name.
Me, thanks. None for
okay.
me.
We will pass on that. And when we come back, it is the side of Flip. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. And I'm going back to my original product here, my Mochi Mouse. I'm very, very excited about that. Excited about that.
It's just Let's supposed enjoy to be a backup. Him.
This spring, get out there, enjoy the weather, and recapture the magic of riding a bike with electric e-bike. With an amazing variety of models built for riders of all abilities, it's never been easier to fall in love with riding again. Plus, every electric e-bike ships free and only requires quick, toolless assembly.
Easy.
Electric has e-bikes that start at just $799 with XP Lite. You can save on gas, parking, and maintenance, and financing starts as low as $49 per month. Plus, data shows that e-bike riders take their bike out more often, meaning more exercise, exploration, and fresh air. Go full throttle into spring with electric e-bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that the Mike O'Mara Show sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's LECTRIC, ebikes.com. Take it away, Rob Spiewak.
Sorry. Mike, it's the price of paradise.
Are you talking about where I live?
Yes.
Oh,
have you been aware of all the shenanigans with the insurance companies, particularly Progressive?
I know that many, many insurance companies have moved out of the area because they don't want to insure places that are in the
Mike,
flood zones.
It's even more sinister than that.
We're back now covering the price of paradise. And once again, a viewer reached out to us here at ABC Action News telling us Progressive Insurance dropped their coverage. And now he fears he may soon be priced out.
Yeah, he's frustrated with the process of finding a new insurance company. ABC Action News reporter Nadine Yanez today got answers for him.
We got this email from Ira Cadston in Bradenton. He says he just got his letter of non-renewal from Progressive, one of thousands of Floridians who are now being dropped by Progressive. But his frustrations don't end there, as he is now researching a new insurance company. He says the information out there is little to none for consumers. So we went out to speak with him today.
Dear policyholder, your policy will expire.
Mike, that could so be one of your neighbors.
It sucks. And you know,
and it's
what?
Right before hurricane season.
Of
right
course it is. And season. You're talking about astronomical profits. All
yep.
right. You are talking about astronomical profits. And you know what? It's the price of doing business to live at the, you know, in a flood area. Thank God I am just outside of one. Otherwise, I would be in the same boat as these people. With that said.
Right.
This is a big, deep issue. You're ignoring realities. You're ignoring realities of the way of the world. You know, you're wondering, you can't just wide-eyed go into buying a house that's on the coastline where there was 6 feet of water a year
right.
or two ago and think that there's not going to be, you know, some hesitation on the
issues.
Part of the issues.
There's
a lot of blame to go around, is my point. You
true
gotta
enough,
have your
true
eyes
enough.
Open.
But Mike, I just want to make sure that your insurance hasn't been doubled in price or canceled right before.
I get my
season.
Insurance from Tommy DeVito Insurance, and it's worked well for me. They say, you know,
do you buy it at his used car lot? Is that where
I
he
do.
Sells it?
And they said, if the you know if disaster happens, you can pretty much count on us. That's their slogan. Pretty
and
much.
I understand if it's a total loss, don't they have you to his mom's house for dinner?
Yeah, and you know, for at least 2 weeks, you know, all the mochi I can eat.
Delicious. Mike, mm-hmm. Conan O'Brien is he does some media now that he doesn't have his regular show on.
Got a good
the
podcast.
Networks anymore. The thing about his podcast that I find amazing, he allows himself to appear unlikable and kind of a dick sometimes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So he's really real that way. But this I found out that I did not know. Before he was the Conan we know, and I think after he was on The Simpsons, he wrote for Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And that's when Saturday Night Live and Dave Letterman were still in the same building at NBC. And he revealed this, and I think this is kind of neat.
They had like a covering over his desk to protect
Dave's desk.
It. Our studios were at 9. He was in 6A, which is the studio I eventually took over. But I didn't know that was going to happen. And I would sit at Dave's desk, and I had Dave's perspective, and I would sit there, and I would work on a sketch. And then this crazy situation develops, one in a billion chance, where I get a chance to audition for that show and then get it. But if you had told me that when I was sitting behind Dave's desk as a Saturday Night Live writer, I'd have said there's no way.
Isn't that wild that he would sit, go
that
down
is.
And uncover and write at Dave's desk?
His podcast is
needs
is
a friend.
Really, real. I mean, I don't want to say I find similarities, but I do find similarities where they just go down, you know, kind of a shticky riff once in a while, and it's
I
fun.
I prefer the segments with his producer and his lady assistant than the actual interviews. Yeah, I
a lot
do.
Of fun. Absolutely. Yeah, because really the interviewing... you know, you go back through all of these, even I include even Jimmy Kimmel in this,
mm-hmm.
and the interviewing is not the same as when you went back to Carson, who got,
right.
had great research on his guests and would let them go.
Yeah,
that's
you're
what
right.
I still
you're
like.
Exactly
I like
right.
a lot of these comedy writers, comedians, Jay Leno, even Letterman to an extent, wouldn't let people go as much as they should.
Well, because people would be worried to go on without a game plan. They wouldn't want to go. You
exactly.
know, they were scared of it. There, so.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Mike, here's a palate cleanser. In Washington State, sadly, a broken down truck means zebras are on the loose.
What the hell? What is happening?
Oh my God. They're dangerous.
Get away.
They can bite.
Yeah, they are. And there's four of them running around in the suburbs.
Oh yeah, they're mean. They can be mean. In case you don't know that, if you see a zebra, come on.
Especially I don't know why I find that
window.
As funny as I do.
I did too. Should I play it again? Just see him popping out.
Oh yeah.
This is funny when they're running up the driveway. It's like,
well, when you see their zebra asses.
Yeah, there they go. The zebra asses are funny. Here they go. Blip, 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 blip. Zebra asses coming up the
so
driveway.
So if you're in Washington State, please watch out for zebra ass. And,
did you get, by the way, did you get the video that I sent you this morning?
I replied to it. I don't think it's appropriate for our program.
Really?
But
damn it.
I know, but I did say,
Mike. Okay, let me ask this. All right, and we can discuss this.
Okay.
Do you think it's because the gentleman is infirmed or because he is under the influence of a substance?
I think it's because he's infirm.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Well, in that case, I would honor your judgment.
But I did put, Mike, you'll enjoy the reply, that it might have involved spitting tea this morning.
Yeah.
Not spilling tea, but spitting tea.
You have to admit, fantastic. Right?
Oh, I wish I'd thought of it. As all great comedy things, as I said, I wish I'd thought of it first. Let's close with this. Mike, if you wanted to find a warmer, more personable, good person, you'd look no further than Dave Attell. And here's comedian Dave Attell.
Dave
Attell talking about how he loves his mother, bless her heart, 87 years old.
Old people, they need companionship. Loneliness, that's right, is one of the big killers of elderly. Loneliness and salt. Loneliness. I'm a good son. I would not put up with that. You know what I did? I signed her up for OnlyFans. Yeah, that's what I did. I did the photography. I took a tasteful pic. I'm talking very tasteful of her trying to get out of her shower chair. And you know what? Like a mermaid. Yes. She looked like a mermaid. By that I mean wet and she couldn't walk. Either way, can a boy love his mother anymore? Is that a crime?
It's not a crime, Mike. It's not a crime.
My God. And nobody is more self-aware than Attell about the way he looks.
I know.
He is the creepiest looking man I have ever seen on a stage anywhere in my life. So check it out. He's got a special, too.
Mike, bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Bless Dave Attell's heart. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow. This is the last day.
Oh, my God.
To get your Don't Get Happy Society t-shirt. After tonight at midnight, they're gone. You can't get them anymore. So please go to the website. We got them in all the sizes. We got them in the ladies' V-neck as well. It's your navy blue and gold lettered DGH Don't Get Happy Society t-shirt, available till midnight tonight. Last day today. We appreciate it. For Rob Spiewak, the great and powerful Oz, and all of our wonderful listeners, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Midnight Eastern. So long.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I got nowhere else to go!
I'll recommend your services to anyone I know who has diabetes.
The president has a big stick.
Right. So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.